Hey, what's up? Welcome back to The Sound Table. I'm your host, Austin, and I'm joined by our co-host, Miranda.
Hello.
I'm excited to be back with another episode. If you're watching this, I suppose that you saw last week that we have a whole new channel for The Sound Table. If you're seeing this for the first time, all videos will be posted on this brand new channel now. So make sure that you subscribe because we have podcasts that come out every other Monday. And then on the following Wednesday of that, sorry, if you can hear any thunder or rain, it is like an absolute monsoon outside today. So it might be like a Bob Ross vibe today where it's really casual and chill. But if you're watching this, just make sure that you subscribe to this channel. We have the video podcasts that come out every other Wednesday. And then the audio podcasts come out on the Monday right before that on literally every podcast platform. So it's just The Sound Table everywhere. And then make sure that you go follow our main channel, Make Pop Music. But just wanted to clear that up in case you're seeing this and you're a little bit confused because you missed last week. That is the big update. But today, I'll let Miranda let you know what we're going to talk about.
Oh.
And then we'll dive right in.
Today, we're going to talk about things you should know. Or we that way, I guess we wish we knew, however you want to phrase it, before owning a small business or when owning a small business.
Yeah, I think just like a bunch of lessons that we've probably learned the hard way over. How long have we been doing this now? Almost 6 years? 6 years? 5 years?
Six years, end of 2018.
Yeah, I've been a producer now for like almost eight, I think, or seven.
No, yeah, you've probably
like
been
full time.
Oh, full time.
And then Miranda
yeah.
came on board 5 or 6 years ago.
Six years ago.
So yeah, this is just stuff that we've learned over that time. Some of these will be, I'm sure, really small and kind of like, duh, you should have knew that. And some of these are things that I don't even think peers that are well past us have learned yet. So I'm excited to dive in, but I guess to start with, like, what is one thing that you wish that you knew? You went to school for business, so I feel like you had a little bit more in mind. Where, like, before Miranda came on board, I was just free ball. I just did not care. I was like, whatever's fine. This is technically a business, but not really. So what were things that, like, when you came in, you were like, we need to refine this?
Biggest thing, most important thing was setting up a tax account.
Yeah.
Because this fool was making money as a producer, but not setting aside money for taxes. So when he had to pay taxes, it had to come out of our savings account. So it was like not a good time, would not recommend. There's a lot of different ways you can do it. There's an the way that we do it though is with an app. I don't even know what the app is called.
I think it's called Capital, spelled with a Q.
Yeah. So you put in a percentage you want them to take out. We'd get them to take out 25%. Of everything that goes into your bank account. So
any deposit over $10. So like, even when friends will like Zelle me for food, I'll have to like let
yeah,
Capital
true.
Know that, no, you don't have to take taxes from that. But literally anything from PayPal, anything from Wix,
yeah,
invoices that clear.
All gets 25% taken out of it and gets put into that account. So then you never touch that money. So then when it comes around in April and you have to pay your taxes, you already have it. And then if you're really lucky, which this is the first year we've ever been this lucky, we didn't owe as much as we had saved. So we had technically a refund, not really because it's from ourselves, but it feels
like
a
bit left over. Yeah. We put too much back. So
that was an incredible feeling because that's never happened. It's normally the opposite in the last 5 years. So we've 6 years, whatever we've been doing this.
Yeah.
So. That was a pretty nice surprise.
We've had a couple years where it's like right on the money of what we put
yeah.
back. Last year, we had this big issue where we were using another app called Catch. It is now defunct, which you'll learn in just a second. But it was basically the same thing as Capital. But apparently, they had it to where it was taking everything out. And this was right around, I think, November. So right around our spring sale of 2022. Or I mean, our fall sale of 2022.
Right.
Apparently, the app was starting to go under, and we never got a notification that they were shutting the app down. And so what ended up happening is it only put our taxes back from April to, let's say, like November. So then when we got to April, I didn't realize that until I went and looked, and I needed to transfer a ton of money. And we were very, very short, to the point where, like, we ran a spring sale, we launched a new product, and even that, we still had to take a substantial amount out of our bank. So not only do you need to set up the tax account, make sure that you're periodically checking. I kind of learned my lesson the hard way of just being like, yeah, it's getting money taken out. Because honestly, I have hundreds of payments coming a month through, you know, Wix and PayPal and invoices that I send and companies that hire us. And so there's a lot of different ways that money comes in. And I kind of watch my bank just to make sure I know what we're spending and make sure what we're accounting for. But I don't watch it as closely as I probably should. So we didn't realize. And then when it got to April, we were like,
freaking out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, like very, very, very fucked on that.
Yeah.
Granted, we ended up just like filing for an extension. So we had till October. We only ended up being like a couple grand short after we had like put everything together, and it ended up working out fine, but we had to pay some fees. We had to, yeah, like kind of figure out how we were going to come up with this massive amount of money. I have friends that have gone on payment plans for years to pay back tax bills of like 50, 60 grand. So if you are freelance, please make sure that you're putting money back for taxes, because it's one of those things that I feel like you don't realize. Like,
you don't think about it.
Have we talked about on the podcast, like the concept of like the money that you make as a freelancer is not actually the money that you make? Like, let's say that you make 100 grand. It doesn't mean that you actually made 100 grand. Like,
right.
25 of that goes to taxes. Another 10 or 15 will go to like buying gear, paying your rent for your space, like expenses.
Yeah.
Like 100 grand as a self-employed business person, after paying for like your healthcare, all of your overhead, all of your taxes, your business licenses, all of that shit, maybe like 60 grand. So yeah, just keep that in mind when you're getting started. I know it's exciting to get an invoice clear for $1,000. Keep in mind that you're probably only keeping like 600 of that.
Yeah. I know it's hard to want to put back money when you're like put back money that you know that you're earning, but your future self will thank you. I can promise you, because that was something that Austin did not do in the beginning, and it was very stressful. But I would definitely say that is probably the most important. And then
that, and just kind of like tracking all of your finances in general. Like,
yeah, like having like an Excel doc or like a Google,
like a QuickBooks
doc. Yeah. Or whatever, or even just a notes app on your phone, whatever works for you. Having something like that to keep track with it. Cause I mean, even look at us, like we've been business owners for years now, and even we made that mistake a year ago, you know? So it's like, it can really happen to anybody. You can, especially when you get comfortable in like a routine that you're used to, and you're used to all these things flowing like they're supposed to flow. And then sometimes it just doesn't work like that.
We see it with celebrities. How many celebrities do you see end up going bankrupt because they have 10 years of tax debt that they never actually paid?
Didn't Shakira just like get arrested? Or yeah, not arrested, but
like it's just one of those things of, even if you can't hire an accountant, like if you don't have the funds or if you're not big enough to really care about that, just track your expenses. When you buy gear, immediately track how much it was, where you bought it from, keep a copy of your receipt. If you, you know, travel for business, keep track of all of that. Because at the end of the year, even if you only do like a TurboTax or something, it's really easy to input all that stuff. And you can take your tax bill down very dramatically by putting in your write-offs, counting whatever square footage of your home, your studio is in, you know, writing off a portion of your electric bill and your power bill and your, you know, internet and stuff like that. It's just keep track of it, because let's say at the end of the year, you get your tax bill back and off of your earnings, it says that you owe 20 grand. You might be able to get that down to like 11 by just by popping in your write-offs and finding, you know, different kind of loopholes. So just keep track of it. If you are self-employed, it is a little bit more complicated than just getting that W-2 at the end of the year that tells you, you know, your employee was taken out XYZ percentage every month. And here's the difference. You either get a little bit or you owe a little bit. But when you're self-employed, you might get a tax bill for like 40 grand and not realize it. And then you're like, fuck, I'm screwed.
Yeah. And you don't want that to happen. What would you say? What do you say is the...
That's a big one. Just like learning finances of being self-employed. And again, just like not even just the taxes, but like a dollar does not equal a dollar when you're self-employed. Mm-hmm. Like when you're employed by somebody, you're making 10 cents on their dollar. So when you're self-employed, you have to remember that there's just like so many business expenses that you are now responsible for. But we've talked about that a little bit. I think one of the big ones that I didn't realize, and I think a lot of people don't, because we come from this like culture of like hustle culture, grind culture, like everybody should be their own boss.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I don't think everybody is cut out to run a business or be their own boss.
Definitely
it is just not the mindset of some people. And that's not a bad thing.
No,
it
just not at all.
Is what it, some people need structure. Some people need guidance. Some people need, you know, somebody to basically give them a list of things to do. And they can do those things very well.
Yeah, because it's hard to motivate yourself sometimes, especially like even take a day like today where it's like storming outside. It looks like it's 10 p.m.
It's already
night.
Almost lunchtime.
Yeah, it's not even 1 o'clock. It looks like it's literally nighttime. Like, we don't want to work, but we have to. And it's so, like, hard to motivate yourself to do those things sometimes. And it's not for everybody.
It's not. So that, and then I think a big thing is like, everybody talks about how much they hate their 40-hour a week job or their 45-hour a week job. And then they want to like start their own business. I think that what I didn't realize at first is at least for like the first 3, 4, maybe even 5 years that you're doing a business, whether it's a freelancer or you run, especially if you run like a restaurant or a clothing store, you are working around the clock for years. Like you're basically, your life is your work. So when I went full time, I was mixing, mastering, producing, doing graphic design, doing website design. While Miranda was finishing up school and then worked at a marketing firm, I was probably doing 60 to 70 hours a week for like my first 3 years, maybe even 4 years of being a producer.
Long time.
Because even then when like we started really honing in on make pop music, we were, I was having to now balance all of that shit I was already doing with like adding weekly videos, adding quarterly products, adding other responsibilities. And then even outside of work, I think this is the big thing that I didn't realize about owning your own business is like my day in the studio is my favorite part of my day. This is maybe 60% of what I have to do being self-employed. I have to also answer emails. I have to get back to support questions for Make Pop Music. I have to talk to different companies that want to collaborate. I have to post content. I have to come up with my schedule for the week. I have to hire out people that, you know, we're going to be using to help us create packs in the future. I have to interact with people. Just those little things of like having a DM that wasn't answered for 25 minutes used to send me into like a full-blown panic attack.
Yeah, it's true.
Because you're thinking when you're getting started, like, if I don't respond, I'm missing every potential opportunity, right? Like, what if somebody huge reaches out and I don't respond fast enough, and by the time I do, they're not interested anymore? You come to learn that, like, that's not the case. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got their own shit going on. And then eventually you just develop that confidence where I'm like, if somebody thinks that I owe them a response within 10 minutes of getting a DM, I don't know if I want to work with them anyway.
Yeah,
I don't have the energy to put up with that kind of mentality. And to be honest, I don't need it. Like, we do very well for ourselves. I'm my own boss. I don't have a manager. I'm not on a publisher or a label. And I like that because I get to control my day. I get to control my clients. I get to control my business. And then the only other person that really gets to say anything is Miranda. And we're married, so everything gets split 50-50. We hire people under, you know, independent contracts sometimes to help us do pack designs like our friend Molly, or to help us, you know, make presets like Mo or Ash or Clay. But other than that, like, it's just us two. And so I like keeping it like that because we can really determine how much we want to work. I think when you're self-employed, you will learn that, like, you'll make as much money up to the point of how much you want to work, right? So, like, getting started, I had to work 60, 70 hours a week to clear that 50K, that 60K, that 70K, because jobs are a lot smaller. You have to take a lot more volume. You have to work with everybody because you never know which artist or which client you work with that could end up popping off. Where now, like, I'm much more selective. I don't have time to be doing fucking 250 productions a year.
Yeah.
I have Make Pop Music to run. I have labels that I work with now. I have artists that I'm trying to, like, actually develop. And I want to spend 80% of my time on that. And then the other 20%, I'll slide in the, you know, work for hire projects that I still really love doing, but that used to be like 100% of my income, where now it's not.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think you always kind of have to audit yourself when you're self-employed of like, what is worth the time that I spend on it? Like, does it, how much time do I spend and what amount of money or joy or I guess just like growth does that offer, right? So like with a reel on Instagram, I might spend an hour making a reel knowing that like nobody's going to go buy a product off of that. Nobody cares, but we might get 1,000 followers from it that then in the future might go buy something. So that's a growth. Or we do this podcast where we might only have 1,000 people hear this opposed to a video where we have 50 grand watch it.
50 grand.
on the topic of money, where we have 50,000 people watch it. But we enjoy doing this. I like sitting down with my wife and just talking for an hour. And so this brings me joy. And then, of course, like the sample packs or the courses, we spend months on those. It's a lot of work. I'll be transparent. It brings us a lot of money. So like there is tiers to things. You have to kind of figure out like, is it worth it in the sense of time, money, growth, enjoyment? And if it's not, you start having to cut dead weight. Like I stopped doing graphic design. I stopped doing website design. I stopped producing, mixing, mastering, remixing every genre under the sun because I was able to just kind of like niche down and do whatever I want to now.
You also like making some things that you make money from as well. Like you like making sample packs. You do like it's not like, oh, if I just made really good money for this, I would do it even if I hated it.
100%.
Like you happen to still like the things that you do.
Well, one of the big reasons that we even started making sample packs is because I was making sounds for myself, and then people wanted to buy them. So, like, I still say even to this day, I won't make a YouTube video or a sample pack or a course that I wouldn't want now or at some point in my career. So like the courses that we have on our website, I base those around what I personally would have wanted when I was getting started with production. I don't really care what other courses are on the market. I don't really care, you know, how masterclassy they are. I'm just like, what value could I give that 19-year-old Austin would have paid the money for?
Exactly.
And it really would have helped.
Yeah.
And it's, that's one of the best things about being a freelancer or being independent is like, you get to make everything on your own accord. And so I don't do a lot of things now that don't bring me joy because there are things that I do enjoy that could also bring me money and growth. But it takes time to get to that point. When you're getting started, you kind of just have to grind your teeth and do the shitty grunt work. And it's like everything, like an internship at a job or like a runner at a studio or like, you know, I mean, look at a lawyer where you're like an assistant and then you become one of the lower lawyers and then you become the partner of a partner and then you become partner of the firm. It's just like every job, you're going to have to do shitty work for 2 years and then start scaling it back every couple years after that.
Yeah.
But most people don't realize that. They just like glamorize being a business owner or being self-employed or...
People do.
They're just like, oh, I can go on vacation whenever I want.
And I don't know why people glamorize it so much because it is scary being a business owner because you're like, yes, like it has the amazing perks, of course, like getting to make your own schedule, getting to choose who you work with, getting to pick like your coworkers as you get to choose, but you also get to choose your clients. Like that is nice, but also it's terrifying knowing that all the things that you have in your life, all of your, like the money that you make is determined on you and you alone.
Yep.
That is super stressful. Like it's stressful when you're at a job and you're like, they could fire me at any moment. That is scary, but like the chances of that are a little bit lower. And also you can normally, hopefully, get another job. But like with this, it's like, what the fuck are you gonna do? Like, it's kind of scary.
Like even when we bought our house at the start of COVID, I'll let Miranda tell you that story because that was insane.
But
that was scary part about being self-employed.
Yeah. When we bought our house, we reached out to a broker. He's a broker, right?
A mortgage broker, yeah.
Mortgage broker, yeah. And he got all our tax information, everything like that. And he's like, okay, perfect. This should work. Tells us how much money we're going to get approved for so we can get a loan. And so that's so we can start shopping for houses. And we get our house, we put in all the paperwork or whatever. And he tells us this after we close, thankfully, so that we didn't freak out. But after we close, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, like, the day before you guys were supposed to close on your house, the bank called me trying to tell me that Make Pop Music wasn't a real business and that you guys weren't going to get the loan. And we were like, what?
Even though we had years of like six-figure tax income.
Yeah, and he's like, I was so pissed. He's like, I sent them your website, your YouTube channel. I sent them all your stuff again. And I was like, this is BS. This is a real business.
Yeah, he went to bat for us.
It was. I mean, this is why you need to hire the right people and have the right people on your team because... It was so scary. I was like, really glad you didn't tell me that because I was kind of already freaking out enough and that really would have freaked me out.
Yeah, but a 24-year-old and 25-year-old self-employed person are like a bank's worst nightmare for a mortgage.
I was only 24 and he was 25 at the time. So yeah, very young. And I can't imagine though, like what if we had hired somebody who, we hired him specifically because he worked with people who were self-employed. That was why we hired him. And I'm like, I can't imagine if we just would have went with like whatever broker, because that might be what wouldn't have been the case. They maybe would not have known how to fight the bank on that. Would have just been like, oh, well.
Well, that's an important thing about taxes is like people think that they're pulling one over on the government when you write off as much shit as possible.
Right.
But at some point, when you go to buy a car, when you go to get a mortgage for a house, when you go to apply for an apartment, they will look at that adjusted gross income. And so if you made 150 grand and you were able to finesse $80,000 of write-offs, so you only had to pay taxes on 70 grand of that, they're now going to say that you only made $70,000. Even if you were really finessing write-offs and being a little bit slick with the IRS, the banks, the mortgage brokers, the fucking credit people, they don't care. Like they're just looking on that AGI. So make sure that when you do your taxes, keep that in mind. Like that is why we hired him January of 2020 was to be like, hey, here's our tax return last year. How much do we need to show on this tax return? I'm willing to just pay extra in taxes and not write off shit that we could have written off just to get approved.
Which is exactly
And
what
he
we
gave
did.
Us the exact number, like basically down to the dollar.
Yeah.
And we did our taxes just like that and it was fine.
Yeah. And we did pay more in taxes that year than we probably, than we could have because we didn't do all of our write-offs, but it was worth it because.
Yeah. I would rather pay the extra $8,000 in taxes or whatever that we had to pay because we didn't write shit off rather than not get approved for the house that we're in now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not even really what I was referring to. I was referring to the fact that like we bought our house. We toured our house 1 week before the pandemic started and we closed on our house 3 weeks after the pandemic started. And when we were self-employed, that was terrifying. I mean, I guess it would have been just as terrifying if you were employed because everybody got laid off anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say everyone got laid off in the pandemic.
That was terrifying, especially
the pandemic was scary. Yeah. I thought you meant for, because you said, I thought you mentioned the house.
Yeah, I mentioned how scary it was to buy a house when we then went straight into a pandemic.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the pandemic was scary for everybody, though. That's not just a unique situation, but it is scary as a business self, like a self-employed person, because you're like,
especially
am I
going to
tank or am I going to succeed?
Like, our website is not essential. Like, I like everything that we make. I like producing for people, but like, in an economic crisis, I don't think that it's the first thing that most people are going to think to do. However, that year we had like one of our best years ever, I think, because so many people were at home learning how to produce.
Yeah.
And our sample packs and stuff were all so fairly priced that a lot of people would get a stimulus check and go buy. No, I know. They're the same prices now.
Yeah, okay. I was like, we have not raised our prices.
But I think a lot of people were like, oh, I'll pick up this $20 pack or this $30 pack. However, we did not know that. Going in, we had just closed on our house. We had used most of our savings for the down payment on the house, furniture for the house, and we wanted to still have like, you know, 3 to 6 months of bills. I did not want to get a house just to fucking foreclose on it in a year. And so it was a little bit terrifying. However, it did all work out. But that is one thing about being self-employed. It's like, you need to have your backup plan. Yep. If we would have had no extra side money, and our website went down or business was bad or people couldn't afford to hire a producer and you just buy a house that now you're on the hook for, and terrifying.
Like, it's every month is different being a self-employed person. You don't make the same amount every month, like, and you don't know how much you're going to make every month. Some months you might make twice as much as you made. Sometimes you might make, you know, half of what you made the month for. It's really scary. So you have to be careful of saving your money and not seeing numbers and just getting super excited about the amount of money that's in your bank account and being like, oh, I'm just going to go spend this. I'm going to go on this vacation. Like, we could probably spend more money for how much we make and like go on more vacations. We don't. We go on one vacation a year. We probably could do more and should honestly do more. Maybe this year.
That's another thing that I want to mention. Honestly, it's kind of a good segue of like, one thing that I didn't know being self-employed was like time goes by a lot different when you're self-employed, to the point where like at a job, you're going to get PTO. They're going to basically make sure that you remember to take off days and you have your schedule.
They don't make sure you take off days, but they have them.
If you have your PTO,
you.
They'll remind you that you still have PTO.
I doubt it.
But like self-employed, obviously we don't have PTO, but either way, like if I'm not thinking and I just keep booking projects and booking meetings and booking shit that I have to do, we will go over a year without like taking significant time off. Like we'll take like weekends off and I'm pretty good with my schedule now, but like we won't take 5 days to go on a trip. Like last year we went to Italy for 2 weeks and it felt like a vacation when we were gone. But the 2 weeks before that and the 2 weeks after that are insane because you have to basically preload all of your work for the you know, time off, and then you have to make up for all of that time off. So vacations when you're self-employed are a little bit different, honestly. Like, I know at a lot of jobs, your responsibility doesn't technically stop too. Like when you come back, they'll still make you kind of pick up where you left off.
Yeah, of course.
But when you're self-employed, like it's just different. Like literally everything stops and stands still. It's hard to be really proactive about taking time off and taking time for yourself and enjoying some of the, you know, when you get to the point where you can afford to take vacations and you can afford to take time off, a lot of the time you get too busy and then you just forget it. And so it's like, yeah, it's nice that I make great money, but like I haven't taken more than a weekend off in like a year and a half.
We literally had to do that this time because we've been saying, oh, we want to go on vacation. We want to go on vacation. And we're like, oh, in May. And then as you know, it's already May. So we're like, and we were like, okay, finally, we're actually going to book it. And we booked it for June. So we are finally going on a vacation almost a year later. But hopefully this year we'll take another vacation, maybe in October, November. I don't know. We'll see. those are always our busiest times of year. So it's very unlikely, but you never know.
I love being self-employed. I have a lot of friends that have office jobs where they don't love it. They just like work, and their life outside of work is their life. For me, like, I like that I'm getting to work on something that we can put our name on and build, and I have like a pride about. But I do think that a lot of people over glamorize it, and they don't realize, like, everybody that I know that's freelance or owns a business or started a restaurant or a company that is like a legitimate, you know, increasing every year in profit and reach company, their life is their work. And if you don't want your life to be your work, you have to be willing to like really sacrifice profits and growth, because we grew so fast in our first few years because I worked a miserable amount. And now we grow a lot slower. We make good money because we have a good audience now, but like, I could probably work more. We could both probably work more and push this business a lot further.
Yeah.
However, I don't want to have another mental breakdown. Like, it's just not worth it to me.
Or make yourself sick. Like, he's literally made himself sick from working so much. Like, it's not great.
Yeah.
Because Austin is very much an all or nothing kind of person. So it's hard for him to like pull back.
It is hard when you're self-employed, though, and you're being rewarded for your work directly.
I know. But I'm very proud of you. You've come a really long way. Like,
thank you.
A few years ago, getting you to not respond immediately to an email or like whatever, or like take every project that's making you miserable, it's like, it was hard. And now
I used to literally just sit on the couch all night and just like respond to DMs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is not worth my time. Now I'll still respond to them, but like, I'm going to do them at my convenience. I'm not going to not have a life with my wife or not go out with my friends or not take a vacation.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I have people like counting on me responding. They'll get their response.
Yeah. And if they're really that crazy about you responding to them immediately when they message you at like 9 p.m. on a Tuesday, maybe you don't want to work with people like that. Like, they're probably not going to be the best clients to work with if they're demanding of your time just because they're paying you for one thing. Like,
yeah, for sure. Honestly, like, I guess that's another point that I think it took a long time to learn being self-employed, was like learning how to set boundaries with people that are technically paying you. And like, Miranda had to deal with this even in an office of like, just because somebody is paying you, that does not mean that they get to talk to you like you're a piece of shit. It doesn't mean that they get to hound you when you're off the clock. It doesn't mean that like you owe them your life outside of the work that they're hiring you to do.
I was really bad about that when I worked, especially when I was younger, like when I was like, you know, 17, 18, like even like 20. I was just like, oh, I work here. They hired me. I need to dedicate my entire life to this, even though I was getting paid $10 an hour. It was like not worth it. Not worth being miserable over for so long. But I eventually quit the job that made me super miserable. So, and then got another job that was better. And then I did the same thing. I just do it all the time. That's just kind of like my thing.
Yeah. And if you're that kind of person, I think it's easy to think that a lot of that goes away when you're self-employed, but like, it doesn't. I've had people that pay me to produce a song and then get pissy that I'm not responding at 11 p.m. at night. And I have to quickly correct them and be like, look, I want to make your song for you. I want to make it as good as possible. These are my hours that I will respond to your messages within. These are the hours that I'm going to be working on your song. These are the days that you can expect updates. And like, outside of that, you don't get to talk to me like that. Like, it's just one of those situations where I think that if the wrong type of person is hiring you, I think people can get a little bit of superiority complex about it and think like, I'm paying for them, they should be responding to this, or I'm paying for them. They can do this 50th revision because I paid for it. And like, at some point, like, you as the professional needs to set a boundary. So now anytime that I start a project, I let people know, hey, these are the days that I work. These are when I'll respond. I'm not saying that I won't respond outside of that. Like, sometimes if I'm sitting on the couch and it's 8:30 at night and I have somebody ask me a question, it is easier for me to just answer it then.
Right.
Rather than forget about it the next day.
Yeah.
However, I don't owe you that when I'm off the clock. If I do it, it's just because I saw it and it was convenient for me. I've set the expectation now of like, look, we're going to get through this. These are when you can expect me to talk to you. These are when you can expect to get updates. These are when you can expect to, you know, schedule a phone call if you want to chat. But like, outside of that, I have a life. I have other projects that I'm working on. I have make pop music that I have to work on. I have a wife that I want to spend time with. I have friends that I want to spend time with. And if I worked any other job, I would not let my boss call me at 9 p.m. at night and bitch me out because they want me to focus on something tomorrow when I get back into work. It's just not how the world works.
Right.
And I think it's really uncomfortable when you're a freelancer because you have this weird thing, and I think everybody does, where you feel like you should be like overly appreciative for anybody trusting you with their project or hiring you. But at some point, it's like...
Which, like, you are appreciative. Like, you should be appreciative.
You should be.
Most people are, but, like...
You're also doing them a service.
Exactly. It's like, you wouldn't... This is what I told him at the time, and this was happening, is I was like, there's no other industry where that's acceptable.
Yes.
Like, if you have a hairdresser, a tattoo artist, you're hiring a graphic... even if you're hiring a graphic designer, whatever it is, like, a party planner, whatever the situation is who you're hiring an individual person to do something, you cannot demand that person to... respond back to you and like give you the time of day. That's not how it works. Like they don't owe you because you're paying them for a service. You are also getting something out of the transaction at the end of the day.
Right.
Like they're not doing,
you're getting what you paid for.
Exactly. And it's like, you're not paying to have them to be available 24/7. That's not how that works.
Yeah. If you want that, I'm going to charge you way more money.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I have to be on the clock 24/7 for you. You're paying for it.
Yeah. I'm like, but that's just crazy. That's what lawyers do.
Yeah. It is weirdly uncomfortable, though, having to basically tell somebody, like, look, thank you for hiring me, but, like, at the same time, this is not how that works.
Yeah. It is uncomfortable.
You do start to, like, weed those people out as you grow. Like, I have much less of that now because, honestly, if somebody's like that, I have no problem just being like, I'm not working with you. And I'll refund them their deposit, cut the project off, and never talk to them again.
Yeah, that doesn't really happen now.
Which is another thing I think that... you know, I wish I knew when I was self-employed, is like, sometimes it's worth it to just like let people go. Mm-hmm. Like I've chased projects for months trying to get things to work and the communication is just not there. Personalities don't mesh. What's coming out, I'm not happy with. They're not happy with. And I used to think, well, they've already paid me and I want to get the final payment. So I might as well just like stick it out and do as good of a job as I can. And now I'm very privileged to be to the point where it's like, I'm not doing that. Like if it's
even
not
at the time, I would try to convince you to not, because I remember you had that some client and they were terrible.
Yeah.
And I was like, just refund them. And you were like, oh, but I'm like already halfway done and like I might as well just finish it. I'm like, it's going to go on for 3 more months of this and you're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
Like, it's not worth it. And then finally you're like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. I think it's just one of those things where like, even if you listen to this podcast, you're probably going to have to go through the situation yourself to like really understand the gravity of it and like what it looks like and how to recognize that that is happening. Because once you get to a certain point, I do understand that you're like, fuck, dude, I've already dealt with it this long. I'd rather just stick it out, because I'd rather make some money for my troubles than cut it off and say like, oh, I spent hours on this and I'll get nothing from it.
Yeah, that's understandable.
But you'll learn how to start recognizing that quick. Like I can know within the first little couple hour draft if a person's going to be a nightmare to work with. And I'm like, you know what? Actually, I don't think this works.
Yeah.
And it feels weird, but like at the same time, there's a lot of other people that I could work with that will communicate a little bit better, will appreciate me a little bit more. I can understand a little bit more. Sometimes it's not even like a malicious thing of like they're disrespectful or they don't understand the project scope. Sometimes it's just a difference of taste and a difference of personalities.
Or like, and your communication just isn't.
A difference of expectations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, it's not a bad thing. Like, I think...
No, some people just don't mesh. It's not that big of a deal. It's not... It's a lot of time, it's not personal. Most of the time, it's not.
Being in the entertainment industry, whether you're an actor, a singer, a producer, a songwriter, a, you know, novelist, like whatever you are, I think that you'll quickly learn that a lot of your life is, like, no's and rejection.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I send a mix... there have been projects that I take it personally if I get revisions on that I don't agree with. And then you finally get to the point where you're like, no, it's just, it is what it is. They have different understandings. And if I can do what they want, then great. If I think that what they want is a really bad idea, then I'm the professional. I feel like I can voice my opinion and say, hey, we can do whatever you want. But in my opinion,
right,
I think we should tackle this at a different angle. And it's just kind of learning how to communicate with people, learning how to have those boundaries that I talked about earlier. And just really learning how to like facilitate the vibe of a project to get it over with. And that's just, it's one thing that like you have to learn if you're spearheading projects. And it's with any business, right? Like if you own a bakery, if you don't want people to come in and talk to your employees a certain way, you need to be comfortable kicking those people out and telling them that they're not welcome back, even though they might come and buy a $40 cake. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things of like, owning a business, you kind of have to be able to figure out what your stance on things is and where your boundaries are. And if you want to take shit past that because you're getting paid, that's on you. And if you don't, that is also 100% understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But what else do you have?
Okay, well, this is kind of only relevant in like our situation since we're married and also have business together. But I guess if you also are in business with like your friend or...
any business partner, really.
Yeah, but someone that's a business partner that you also see all the time, though.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit different because we obviously live together. But setting, again, boundaries. Boundaries are just the whole theme of this.
Yeah.
Setting boundaries of when to talk about business. Like for the first year, maybe, of me working with Austin, he would want to talk about work all the time. Like on the weekends, after we were done working, all the time. And I was just like, okay, we're going to have to like figure this out because that's not... it's not good for either of us. Like you need to take time off of work to like process other things. And like, I don't, you just need to decompress, and you can't decompress if you're talking about work all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was like, I love this. I love that we get to work together. It's great. But if we want our relationship to not be all about work, we have to have these boundaries of like, we can talk about work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And then we can not talk about it any other time out of that. And, you know, there's exceptions. Like, of course, sometimes we'll be in the car. We'll talk about podcast ideas. We'll talk about pack ideas or whatever. Like, sometimes there are, like, little fleeting conversations.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, intense conversation all about work constantly, about what we need to do. What, you know what I mean? It's, like...
it got bad when we were going out on date nights and having an hour and a half dinner, and probably an hour and 15 minutes of that we were talking about... what course should we do?
Like, yeah, that's too much.
Yeah,
that's what business lunches are for.
Exactly.
not date nights. And like, it's just, you really got to set those boundaries because otherwise you'll go crazy and you'll explode like I did.
Yeah, it's really hard, honestly, when you own a business because
you're passionate about it and you want to talk about it.
The more you work towards it, the better it becomes. The more
exactly.
successful it is, the more money you make, the more you grow, the more people you meet. And so you just have to figure out how much of your life are you willing to dedicate to that? And if you have a partner or friends, how much of their lives are you willing to dedicate towards
yeah,
that?
But you also have to be careful because if you do it too much, you will implode. Like,
yeah,
you will, there is burnout. You will wear yourself down. Like, it happens to everybody. You're not invincible. It will happen to you. So it's like, you have to take that time. You have to have off time. You just have to.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take care of yourself, though.
Yeah, I think that's another thing about... I don't even know if this is really a self-employed thing or like being a business owner, but you do just have to be like proactive about so many more things because your job is a much more gray area boundary with like a lot of things. Like
mm-hmm.
you might not have a super, super set schedule. I think that you should try to get into a routine and have a schedule.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, if I'm not in the studio by 9 a.m., nobody's going to fire me, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I think that it takes a certain person to be, like, dedicated and structured. And if you're not that, you have to figure out how to make that work. Like, it's hard to scale a business and it's hard to make enough money to support yourself if you're basically only going to work when you feel like it or
yeah.
whenever it's convenient for you. And it's not super glamorous. Like, there are days that I really don't feel like doing anything. And I know in my core that, like, technically I don't really have to because nobody would know if I did that tomorrow or the next day versus today.
Yeah.
But it becomes a weird cycle of, like, well, then you drag one day off and then you drag 2 days off.
Yeah.
And now
it can be a bad habit to get into if you do too
much. It's a really bad
much.
Habit because the punishment is not as immediate as your boss pulling you in and being like, what the fuck? Like,
right.
you didn't show up to work today. You start to see it in 2 months when you're like, why is my bank so much lower? And it's like, well, because I got 4 weeks behind on work because I was taking 3 extra off days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people at some point when they're self-employed will take advantage of being self-employed. And I'm not saying that this is a bad thing,
no,
but everybody will get a little bit lackadaisical. We have friends that have businesses and he'll tell you straight up to your face too. He'll be like, oh, there were years that we didn't grow like we should have because we probably only worked about half as much as we should have because I just thought that we didn't have to because like sales were still coming in, you know, people were still watching our reels. But I didn't realize that me not being diligent enough kind of plateaued us, kind of made us stale.
I mean, we've done that.
Yeah, like, it happens all the time.
Like, everyone's done it.
And you
it's
just have
easy to get into it because you're like, oh, I've been working so hard. I've been doing so good. And like, I deserve it. And then you do that and you're like, oh, shit. That's why it's all about balance. I mean, everything in life is about balance, but especially owning your own business. It's really a balance of, and you have to find that because maybe you're somebody who you're like, I can get all my shit done in 20 hours. And maybe you want to spread out those 20 hours over 5 days. Maybe you want to be someone who works, you know, a 30-hour work week and you only want to work 4 days a week. Like, you can do whatever you want. Like, if you are somebody who works better at night, you can be somebody who works at night when you own your own business. Well, it depends on the business that you own. If you own a business like a producer or something like that, more of, if you own like a bakery, you obviously can't work at 9 p.m.
Right.
But you know what I mean. Like, I guess I mean in just in this sense, in our world. But you can make your own schedule for what it is. Like, if you don't like getting up early and you want to start work at 11 a.m., you can do that.
It just takes time to like learn what you like. It's like when you're getting into fitness or something. It's like, just because a podcast told you to work out at 6 a.m. every day fasted, like if that doesn't work for you, and you find that you can't be consistent with that, but you could be consistent if you worked out at 6 p.m. after work, but it's you make slightly less progress, a little bit slower. Do whatever is better in the long run.
Like, exactly.
Don't fucking go try to run at 6 a.m. if you hate doing that and you're only going to do it for a week at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Not everything works for, we're not like, we're all individuals. Not everything is going to, that works for me is not going to work for you. Vice versa.
I know people in the music industry who have a great career and work 25 hours a week. I know people in the music industry that have a great career and enjoy working 60 hours a week. Yeah. There are different boundaries. Some
different
people
personality types
like working so much and they might not have like direct people that I guess like need a lot of time from them. Like they might not have a spouse or like a whole group of like friends that are always trying to do stuff. And if that's you and you just prefer to work and you enjoy it and you're working 60 hours a week and you feel good about it, do that. I'm not going to tell you cap yourself at 40 hours.
No.
However, if you're starting to realize like, I'm not enjoying this as much anymore. Like, I feel like my health is deteriorating. I feel like my relationships with people are deteriorating. I feel like, yeah, the business is growing, but I don't even know if I really care. You're probably working too much because that's where I got, where I was like,
yeah,
we had a great quarter. I don't think I literally went out one single time other than like to run to Target.
Right.
And that was miserable for me.
Yeah. I'm telling you, balance. And you know what the great thing about owning a business is that we're still just learning entire time. Like
we could do this episode a year from now when we probably have a whole different stance on a lot of things.
Everything is learning. Like even if you're watching this or listening to this and you're like, okay, I'm going to do all these things or I'm going to like implement some of these things. You're still going to make mistakes. It's still going to be hard. There's still going to be things that you're going to learn. It's like
something that might have been our golden meal ticket might not work for you at all. Like you might hear this and you might be like, they made a whole career off of making YouTube videos and samples and producing. And then you try it and you're like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I just want to like make songs for sync licensing.
Yeah.
Like
I have to say, if we didn't have our, if our business, what it wasn't, what it is, I would not be self-employed. Like, I am not somebody that I think is like, I think I'm very driven and I'm a very hard worker. But first of all, I don't know what the hell my business would be. But like, I don't think I'd have my own like marketing firm or anything like that. I don't
Do you prefer structure?
I just think it is so less stressful for me personally if I was to just work for a company.
We're very different. You were like, I work to live and I'm like, I live to work.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I would want to have a job that had gave me like I could make a lot of money. But like once I left the like clocked out at 5 o'clock, it was like, OK, I'm done. Like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to like, even though I would because I always do anyway. But like, I don't know what I would have as a job if I didn't have. Like, as a self-employed job, I mean, if I didn't have this job currently.
Yeah. I think that was a big learning thing for you, too. It's just, like, not being too hard on yourself or feeling too guilty for, like, not feeling like you work a 40-hour work week with Make Pop Music. And it's, like, if there's just nothing else to do or, like, if you're happy with the way that we're growing, then, like, that's fine. Like,
right. And I can only work so much anyway because I require you filming or whatever
right.
in order to do it. So it's like,
yeah, but there was at least a year or two where you were like, Yeah, I know that, you know, we're doing much better with me working for the company, but like, I feel like I don't know if I do enough, and like, would I be of better use if I just went and got a job at like another marketing firm?
Yeah.
I was like, what do you want? Like, I think it really clicked when one of our friends, Cody, was like, if you only work 25, 30 hours a week and y'all are making the money that you do, and outside of that, you can basically go do whatever you want. Like, that's the dream.
Yeah.
But like, to Miranda's mind, she was like, well, I went to school for business. I was like pretty prepared to spend 50, 60 hours a week at work. And then outside of that,
yeah,
do whatever I want.
Yeah. It just felt like felt like you're not working hard enough because you're not working yourself to death. You're not even working the like normal, quote unquote, normal amount of hours that people work. And it like made me feel like shit for such a long time. Yeah. And then Cody really helped me realize that, being like, girl, that's a dream. What are you talking about?
It's not like there was like work on the table that you weren't getting done or things that I was like, oh, this would be a great idea. And you're like, I don't really feel like working more than I had to this week.
Yeah, I wasn't being lazy. It was more just out of like, that is just how the cookie crumbles.
Like, Miranda was like trying to find things to take over time that weren't really helpful for the company. They were just kind of like time wasters.
Yeah.
Just to feel like she was working. And I was like, I mean, wouldn't you rather do literally anything else than like scroll story blocks for 4 hours trying to find like a new way to do a title sequence? Like, do we really care about that?
Yeah.
And she was like, actually, no, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing when you're self-employed, is like, again, auditing your time of like,
yeah,
you don't have to, if it's not making you time or you're not enjoying, or if it's not making you money and you're not enjoying it and it's not making growth, don't bother.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not doing one of those things, and you're wasting your own time. And when you're self-employed, it's not like a company where you can fucking, you know, go sit by the water cooler for an hour on the boss's dime. And like, you're not getting paid if you're, you know, just wasting time.
Yeah.
And this, I think that'll be like my last big point down to the, you know, controlling the amount of hours that you work. I had a lot of guilt for some days I'm in the studio for 6 hours and like, I feel like I'm like, fuck, I'm exhausted. I'm tapped. Like, mentally, I can't do it anymore. I'm done. And for a long time, I would like get really down on myself. And I would tell Miranda, like, why can I only feel like I work 30 hours, 35 hours a week sometimes, and I'm so exhausted? And Miranda was like, at an office job that is a 40 or 45 hour work week, nobody is working 40 or 45 hours of that. They're going on hour long lunch breaks. They're talking to friends. They're getting all of the stuff on their little call sheet done. And outside of that, they're taking as much time to do it as they want.
Why do you think people loved working from home? Because you do not, this is what companies sell you, this bullshit that you need to work 40 hours a week. No, you don't. Then once you're in their office 40 hours a week, they don't need you there. Like, people literally are working from home and doing the amount of work that they would do in an 8 hour workday within 3 hours.
Yes.
Because they're just focused and concentrated working for those hours. And then outside of that, they're doing whatever they want. That's why companies are making people go back into offices instead of letting them work from home, is they have this weird, like, I don't know, what mindset is it that their employees need to be working 40 hours a week?
I think is a human condition to basically say, I will take as much time to get this task done as I am given. So if a client gives me a month to make them a song, it's going to take me a month to make their song. If we have 48 hours to produce it, write it, mix it, master it, it'll be done in 48 hours. So like, learning how to set those timetables for yourself and knowing, just because I might have only done 4 hours of work today, that's a lot of progress. That's 4 hours that I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't get up from my desk. I didn't refill my water.
Yeah,
that is not the same as 4 hours in an office where you're getting maybe 2 hours of work done.
Yeah, you're,
it's just a
calls,
whole different thing.
People are coming in your office. Like, it's like, yeah, it's a lot different.
You have a conversation that sidetracks you for 20 minutes.
Exactly.
Like, when I'm in the studio, I'm in work mode, and I'll get more done in like a 6 hour day than most people will in half a week. And like, I used to feel guilty for getting shit done that fast and feeling like, I'm beat now, I'm exhausted. And now I've just realized, like, as long as the work is done, I'm not going to make myself be in here if I don't want to be in here, long as everybody's getting their projects.
You also work very fast.
Yeah.
Like, that is something, like, even when he has like friends come over who are producers as well, and they're like watching Austin work or they're working together, they're always like, dude, you work so quick.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's just how you work. That's how I work too. I edit very fast. And it's like,
yeah,
I'm not going to feel guilty that it takes me less time to do something than maybe somebody else. That doesn't mean that I'm better or that they're worse or they're better. It's just how it works. Like, I just work a little bit faster than this person over here, and that's fine.
And if it took you longer, then that's also fine. But don't exactly. fluff your schedule just because you're like, well, I did this in an hour and a half, but I think the expectation's 3 hours, so now I need to find something to do for that other hour and a half. If you're self-employed, use that to your benefit and say, hey, if I thought the project took 3 hours and the project took an hour and a half, I now have an hour and a half to do whatever the fuck I want because the project is done.
Yeah, especially
I can
with,
start a new one. I can take time off, whatever.
Yeah, especially with production because it's not just your time that people are paying for. It's the creativity that they're paying
for. Yeah, your expertise.
Yeah, so it's like it's really not the
same. There's some songs that I get paid very well to produce. I'll make the whole thing in like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have taken somebody else 3 weeks to make it. And like my rate is my rate. At the same time, if it takes me 15 hours to feel like I need to dial in a song, then that is my rate. My rate is, I think we've talked about rates before on this.
We have, yeah.
But like, you want to make sure that you're paid for your time. You want to make sure that you're paid for your effort. And you want to make sure that you're paid for your creativity and your resources. And to me, time is only a little thing of that. The time that I spend on a project is more of a personal reflection of like, how long does it take me to achieve what needs to be achieved?
Mm-hmm.
It's really none of the artist's problem or business if a song takes me 4 hours to make or if a song takes me 20 hours to make.
Yeah.
Because as long as they get a song that they're happy with at the end of the day and I'm happy with and I'm not cutting corners on, I'm not fast just for the sake of being fast.
Right.
I'm fast if I'm in a good flow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It's just like your personality type.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So don't fluff your schedule. I think we've talked about a lot on this one. I think that honestly does it. We could do this podcast again in a year, like we said earlier,
yeah,
and talk about a whole different bunch of stuff. So,
hey, my last thing of advice is to drink water because I know you're not. I know you're sitting in your dark little studio and you're not drinking water and you need to drink water. I made Austin start drinking water a few years ago, changed his life. So please drink water. You're dehydrated more than likely.
Yeah.
And plus it gives you an excuse to get up from your desk and take bathroom breaks, which you need
100%.
To do. You need to be stretching out your legs. So drink water.
Stretch.
And stretch. Yes.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it. Other than that, before we go, I guess we'll do our recommendations and then I'll do the final plugs.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
I can go ahead?
Yeah. You always do this to me. How does
Perfect.
It feel? I'll do my rec while you're thinking about yours.
Go for it. Because
mine is going to be very simple. My rec is to stretch. You just need to do a stretch. Take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. You can find one on YouTube. I do I have a Peloton. We have Peloton shit. So we have a Peloton app. Their stretches are great.
You can get that app though for like $5-$10 a month.
I think it's like 12. It ain't cheap. Yeah. But if you have the Peloton app, do stretch on there. If you don't, there's a bajillion on YouTube, I'm sure, for free. So, or just do some simple stretches yourself. You don't even need a guide.
Yeah. Most of us took PE class growing up.
Yeah.
You know,
do some stretches. Hold
your hamstrings, your hips.
Yeah. Hold them for 30 seconds to a minute each. You'll feel much better. I promise you.
Perfect. Now I have to think of one.
Now you have to think of one. Yeah, mine's self-care. About to hit 1,000 stretches on Peloton, by the way, so I do practice what I preach.
On period.
A weird flex.
Yeah. Damn, what do I want to recommend?
See, you always do this to me. Oh, this is, by the way, this is the Tom Bolo set that he spilt a turmeric shot on last week.
This is a new version.
Or 2 weeks ago, if you guys remember that. Yeah, this is a new one. That he spilled turmeric on.
It's a fire set.
Yeah, it is. It just reminded me. Because that was your rec last time.
Yeah, the irony of me wearing this the week after I fucked it up last time.
Yeah, it's funny.
Okay, I think my rec is going to be just like a piece of gear that I've been using. You can see it back here. It's actually this little gray box. The Audioscape Opto Compressor. I've talked about Audioscape on like our main channel before. They're based in Florida. They basically do a bunch of like clone hardware. So like they have 1176s. The Opto is obviously cloned of a LA-2A. They have like pool tech stuff. Everything that I've tried from them is so, so good. It is drastically better than any other clones that I've had from other companies that I will not mention by name, just so I don't shade anybody. But I will say I've used real 1176s. I've used real LA-2As. I think that these are as good, or at least very, very close to as good. And this was like $1,100, not $4,000. So if you're wanting to get into the market of like using outboard gear, I think Audioscape is a great place to start. I think it's definitely an investment to the point where it's not like your, $300 1176 clone, but it's also not a $2,700, $2,800 UAD 1176. So if you're trying to get some hardware stuff, check out Audioscape. Let them know that I sent you. I have no partnership or affiliation with them, but I do talk to Trevor from the company pretty regularly, and I bought everything full price. But they're a great company. They're a small company. They make everything by hand in their warehouse. So go check them out. I've personally tried the 76. I've personally tried the Opto. And then I've personally heard like the EQP EQs. They have a couple plugins that are really nice. So go check them out. They're really, really good people. They make great gear at a good price. But that's going to do it for my recommendation, I think.
All right.
You ready
subscribe,
to sign off?
You guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Please subscribe to this channel. It's free.
Free.
And we need to build it up, so.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how many videos or how many views we get on the video that we're launching tomorrow.
30.
Well, make sure that you subscribe on YouTube. Follow us on all the other podcast platforms. Visit our website, makepopmusic.com. If you want to check out the sample packs, preset packs, courses, MIDI packs. We have a bunch of free content. Check out our weekly YouTube tutorials at Make Pop Music. And then other than that, I think that does it for this week. Let us know what you want us to talk about in the comments down below.
Yes,
we'll be back in 2 weeks. Other than that, we'll see you all soon. Much love. Peace.